And we're back. It's another week. It's another show. We're the Geek Whisperers. We're bringing social media to enterprise, IT, and technologists. My name, sitting here live from VMworld 2013 in San Francisco, I'm John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And this is Matthew Brender.
We are sitting here in the hang space of... we're actually sitting behind the community lounge in the hang space at VMworld 2013. We're going to talk about events today, social, integrating with your event team, how events teams handle social media and community, some of the stuff we're doing here at VMworld today, since it's right here in front of our faces, and we've been soaking in it the whole
Absolutely.
Week. We're all a little bit, I'm a little bit hoarse.
I've dropped a couple octaves.
Okay, we should all be, this is the Barry White.
The Barry White podcast. Edition.
No. I'm more of a Patty and Selma from The Simpsons at this point.
Anyway, it's been a really good show. We've been all communitying and socializing all the whole time. So we wanted to double click on that.
Oof.
And see what and see if we can investigate a little closer. We're laughing because right before we hit go, Mr. Brender came
yes.
out with a double click word. Double. If you aren't in a big company, you may not be affected by this, but at all of our large organizations,
it's a virus.
Yeah, somehow this word meme has shown up. Double click, and executives love to say and. Love to say they're going to double click on. Yeah, let's double click on that when they mean let's. I don't know. What do they mean by that?
They mean zoom in. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I mean, which is another metaphor for the
or
same
go
idea.
Deeper, or deeper.
Well, what the hell do you double click on anymore? This is like is this 1995?
Well, should I say double tap? Like a double tap in an iPad app to zoom in?
At least be current. I live in a web browser. I click on.
You
things.
You don't believe in anachronism?
I don't. I click on things. It drives me crazy when you. They're the same executives that say double click. On a slide, we'll are the same people that open up a web browser and double click on a link. I swear to God.
John, all right, so before we get into the low hanging fruit of the conversation, we wanted to bring it up because it's really interesting how much we're affected by the space we're in. We all recognize that as social media community people, we're really much about getting people together, and that's going to be a factor of what space is available to collect our troops and collect our tribe or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I did want to jump in and say, actually, let's put, when we do post this, Eben Rodriguez has done some really great time-lapse videos from inside the hang space.
Oh, yeah.
So let's post those on this so people can see what we're talking about, where we are, and kind of get a vision for, like, the kind of crazy chaos that we're sitting in the middle of.
Absolutely, and I have a shot on top of the second floor of the EMC booth that had 20, 30 people up there, and that just was a very unique experience that didn't just happen naturally. It took a lot of planning and a lot of thought, and we wanted to really crack the shell on that code or whatever mixed metaphor we can add to this.
And one of the things that I find so interesting about this, I feel like I'm org chart girl, but I think if we talk about events and social, especially because our focus tends to be enterprise IT, if we think about this in an enterprise organization, I think one of any marketeer's biggest challenge is working across those orgs, working across those silos, not to be all buzzword bingoed out, but I think we all know if you have just something under your own power, you can get a lot done if you're in charge of it. But when it comes to getting other people to come along with you and agree, a lot of the skill set, I think, in accomplishing social and community successfully is using those skills externally, but also using them internally within your organization to get that momentum, to train people, to get them to see the world the way you see it, and frankly, to hear their ideas back. Because
absolutely.
Just, to kick it off, I've had the benefit of working with some of the same folks on my events team, with the Cisco events team, for a couple years now. And those of us who have worked together steadily and readily, the trust builds, and they're more able to say, okay, this sounds totally crazy. This is not the way we've done this before, but let's give it a shot. And then I've had the benefit of learning from their experience, because that is, my cautionary tale. If I think sometimes in social we can get cocky. And
I say hopeful. I like to say hopeful.
That's good.
Like we hope it works out. And
true.
One thing I really respect about all my event colleagues is that they don't rely on hope whatsoever. It's worst case scenario every step of the way. What if every single person that could possibly show up shows up and then times two?
Yeah, no, true. And so it's a very different way of working together. And I've just found that collaborating with that group has been one of the more successful endeavors we've had here at VMworld, for sure. And partnering with the events team around building community around social, because they do see the world differently. I see the world differently. And if we both have respect and listen to each other, I know this is kumbaya, but you'd be amazed what you can learn. People who do this for a living are amazing.
Yes, absolutely. So, John, I want to ask you how something like this comes together. We're in the Hang Space, which is in its second year of evolution.
We've had it for years.
Oh, 3 years, my bad.
Years and years.
You've always had like a blogger space, but it gets bigger and better. I mean, and that doesn't happen by accident. No. I mean, that happens because the outcome is positive. But I'm sure you work in lockstep with some people, or at least have an opinion or two on it.
Well, sure. Yeah. Before I got involved in this gig, I used to wonder what this, more intimately, I used to wonder what our VMworld team did, and how could they possibly spend, like, how could there be a whole team all year round for an event that happens 1 week? And I learned that, in fact, it takes a year to plan this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, 20,000, 23,000 people or whatever come together. There's a lot of detail orientation, and I that's why I will never be. One of my career goals is to never be an event planner. It's really
hats
not.
Off. Hats off to our colleagues.
It doesn't play to my strengths. So, I mean, yeah, they do a lot of planning. They do a lot of detail oriented. One thing they share in common with us is that they are there's a sense of urgency. Often in social, it's like, no, it can't wait till tomorrow. This really needs to happen today because tomorrow will be too late. And, you know, certainly once the cannon is fired for an event, they're always in that mode. If it gets delivered next week, well, you know, just send it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're not going to be here anymore.
but they're very logistical, and they are very concerned with stuff on the ground. And in my experience, I love my team, but, you know, they are not necessarily digital marketing experts.
True.
They aren't necessarily online website people.
Right.
They aren't necessarily forum and community people, and they're certainly not social media people. And they get the importance of it, but that's just not where their head is, and they don't usually have a lot of experience in it.
I agree. I think the partnership opportunity, again, I'm going to be the optimist here now. I found that partnership opportunity, when trust is built, is amazing. And there can be simple things. And again, if you're dealing with events that are a little more soft, small scale, there are simple things like making sure the digital signage includes all your social properties. Encourage them to think this way, because you may think this way naturally as a social media person or a community marketer, but don't assume that, as detail-oriented as the events team is, that this is a way they've thought. They may use social in their own life. They may see the importance of it and understand that it can drive traffic. So, again, find ways that you serve interests, and you'll be amazed at what you get back out of the team. So one of the ways we moved forward was learning about how you can use a few tweets, a Facebook post, or an appropriate blog to drive traffic to a particular session, for instance, or a theater presentation, or a place and time. And some of that is advanced planning, but some of that is, like you said, last-minute reactionary, has to be done now.
Yes.
And that, I think, was one of the big breakthroughs, because whenever you make another team successful, they're going to be more willing to spare some of that time in that year planning cycle and that long-term planning cycle for you to hear your ideas out. So just that's a quick win. If you engage with a team in that way, see what you can do. Ask. Say, where are your pain points and what can we do? And do one thing for them, and you'll be amazed.
And also ask why. Why are things this way? But not in like a challenging way, like saying, like, I think you're doing it wrong, but I'm very curious, like, why it works this way. And that comes to mind when it comes to who is allowed in what area at what time of day. There's a number of people who are saying, like, well, I'm technically an alumni of VMworld, but because I have an expo badge, I can't get into the alumni lounge, and that just seems really rude and disrespectful to the fact I've been to 5 of these already. Something like that. I've heard that on multiple occasions. And then if I put my event marketing hat on, or the little bit of it that I have thus far, I'm like, wait a minute, they have to plan for worst-case scenario, like I said before. So how many people could possibly show up all at once if it was all people that were alumni to some degree? And it just gets, everything gets magnified by levels and levels. And I guess the thing I took away from that is, like, social, in the social world, we really pay attention to our relationships and how our relationships affect each other. And we actually have to help explain away, like, why events flow a certain way sometimes, because they're tactical, they're not emotion driven.
Yeah. I think you're too kind, Brendan.
No.
And I mean that, it's actually on that particular issue with the alumni lounge, and let's explain it a little bit. It's on my list of to-dos post-show to talk about to the team with. The VMworld has an alumni lounge. It's a nice space. The thing is, we have a there's many places to hang out. This year, finally, there are power outlets everywhere. There are couches everywhere. So it's not like the whole damn place. Some conferences you go to, the whole damn place is uncomfortable. There's no place to sit down. And then they invented this alumni lounge so that, you know, some alumni have a little special space and coffee and stuff. So that is... So we have this alumni lounge. I think you have to be an alumni 2 or 3 years to something like that to get access to it. And it's in the system. Couple challenges. One, everything at VMworld is based on your email. If you change jobs, you know how no longer have the same account, and so you have to manually call them and beg them to or tell them you know they need to reconcile your account and give you alumni status.
Right.
If 1 year you move from being a customer to being working for a vendor or a partner and have an expo pass, that year doesn't count as alumni status. If you are a customer but have a speaker's badge that gets paid for by that is complimentary, that also doesn't count. If you're a speaker, you lose your alumni status. Now this is coming, and I think the reason you're too kind is, I love my colleagues. I think this is really coming from an old school mentality where there were customers, and there were the vendors that were selling to them, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how the show is set up there, in that kind of way. What we work with and what we've tried really hard in the enterprise IT community is to have a unified community where it doesn't matter who your employer is. We're customers and people who get sold to and people who sell all together because we're all technologists.
Right.
The more that you split those apart, the more that you either make the sellers, the consultants, the people that work for technology vendors, either lower class or higher class, the more you make them other, the worse this thing works, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're trying to sell me something.
There's you and there's us, and the whole thing that we do is really
Tear
down that wall. But I just want to say that I'm definitely not saying that I think that's a good thing that they do that. I'm pulling my emotional reaction to it out and just looking at it logistically and logically from my peers' point of view.
It's a pretty big space. We could turn the knobs. Make it 3 years. Make it 4 years. Make it 5 years.
Well, yeah. The point is,
I think we need to push back, actually. I think it's your responsibility as a social media leader and our responsibility as social media leaders to push on them and say, I love that you're logical, I love that you're tactical, but this is foolish, and here's why, and here's the opportunity.
Well, here's I think, one of the interesting things about the partnership is that... social has infinite capacity to expand, and events, to your point, is in real life and has capacity. There are capacity questions. It should not be a loyalty program, should not be an overcomplicated, you know, points program that nobody can understand all the rules. Even the rules you just rattled off, John, would be very complicated for the layperson to say, if then, if then, if then.
Yeah.
You know, that is a complex world. So I think that the power of the partnership here is that the, you know, working with the events team, they have to have things that are simple and understandable. And because we, as the social team, often have to deal with the blowback if something goes wrong. We're on the front lines of that customer support. One of our things inevitably becomes that face of the customer. So we have to deal with the complaints. And, you know, not that we don't filter that back to the appropriate channels for monitoring.
Sure.
But it is, you know, who owns the logistics and who owns the complaints?
Yeah,
those aren't the same people.
We're like the pitchers or the quarterbacks. Like the one person that, whether things go really well or go really poorly, we're going to be the person that everyone looks to. It's like, oh, it really fell on their shoulders.
So, partnership opportunity there. And I think that is about crossing those silos and working together, and working together early. I mean, that's, you know, if we're, a lot of these things we're talking about, the year planning cycle, and again, if we're being prescriptive here for anybody listening, cross that chasm as early as you can. Become involved with the events team. If you have on your radar that you want to do some successful social marketing at a particular event, you know, have a roadmap.
Hey, before we leave this topic here, the alumni topic, I do want to say, let's look at it. If you do flip it on its head and say, you know, on the other hand, it does need to be about the customers.
Yes.
You know, because those are, they're paying the bills.
It's their experience.
Some
levels.
Yeah. Their experience. And so I could see if you set up an alumni lounge or a loyalty program the wrong way and included all the, you know, the crusty old computer guys, all of us, you know, neckbeards and salespeople, you could get a skewed lounge where customers didn't have room and it was just a bunch of guys from, you know, EMC and VMware and Cisco sitting there. And that would be uncomfortable, too. So I can see... you know, I can play it out a couple different ways. But anyway, that is on my to-do list to work on.
Oh, I'm with you. And there has to be a better way, but it's not going to come on its own because you need to have that partnership opportunity to get in there and talk from your angle, and then they talk logistically from their angle. And we really find, like, this wonderful common ground where I think we're literally sitting in the common ground right now.
Well, Amy was talking about partnerships. And before we hit record, Matt, you were saying you guys have come to kind of a new, you guys have a new squad formation now.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 6 months, maybe, with events.
It's actually expanded quite a bit, and I think it's really thankful for the maturity of the way we play it out. But it used to be that all event marketing, all event organization, whether it was social or tactical on the ground, was run through just the event team. And just to picture the org chart, we roll up to the same senior vice president under corporate marketing, but we split out a couple layers. So we're like great or like second or third level cousins. I don't know my org chart family as well as I like to. So we would have to span like quite a large gap, and these people that are already responsible for running all the physical and all the crazy amounts of detail that we all see here everywhere were also responsible for some tactical social strategy. And I think it was just recognized in the last year that we could do this better by breaking it out a little bit.
Well, often, if it's not, I mean, this event's our event, but if you're going to somebody else's event, especially if it's not as big as VMworld, it's often like one lone corporate events person, and they grab a couple of the product-y, demo-y people, you know, and then they parachute in that week, and that's it.
But, yeah, but, and that's just...
That's a traditional...
Traditional way, and we at EMC have really recognized that's not what we consider success anymore. That could be success to a lot of people, but we don't see that as successful because we don't see the organic surge in social conversation that we know is correlated to a stronger brand. So we put a lot of energy into the social community side, which means we now have an events marketing team that's responsible for that core event feeling and all of that. But then they're actually connected up with what we call a social embassy person, who's responsible for the way that we connect the dots across the social through what we're going to be publishing during that week and how it's actually playing out on the show floor.
Content, people, platforms.
And then actually even in addition to that is someone like me from the community side who connects the dot into the broader, like, how do we actually bring the troops and...
Bring the people into the content.
Bring the people.
The
so,
right,
like,
platform.
We've got the people, the content, and the place all at once.
Yeah. No, and one of the things I would say, and just listening, I'm smiling here, because we are, at Cisco, just kind of getting to that place as well. We're not, it's not as neat a formation. I like how you, you've put that. But I think that it's, I think...
we're playing sign language with some people in the audience. This is very live.
This is very live. So, but I think the opportunity is there, again, for insertion on these core group calls, team meetings, etc. And one of the things that I found to be very effective in that is even getting an item on a checklist, which I know sounds funny. It's extremely tactical. But once you're a checklist item, once somebody is used to having that on their checklist, then it doesn't get forgotten. You change the sort of template that you use. We actually created one. We built a template for doing social at events so that people could go and check it off so they could leave room for that creative space to do the things they hadn't done.
Okay.
Because if you're under-resourced, and again, you know, I think I would say, Matt, you're very lucky in how that's resourced and the number of people.
I absolutely recognize that.
Engaged. So I'll give an example. We did, I know I've used this before, but it's pretty exciting for me. We've done only community-based events before, which has been me parachuting into a place with my corporate card and doing some sort of a meetup.
Yeah.
And last night, again, very real, live time, we did what we call V-Bacon, which is our tweet up that's meant to be very community-focused and not necessarily product or brand-focused, but, you know, support of the community, engage, let the technologists talk, tear down those walls. And I had an events planner. And one of the remarkable things that happened, they always saw this as not a customer appreciation event. And for the last 6 months, I've been lobbying to explain these are different kinds of customer appreciation events because I've been asked to speak to it at the executive level to put bullets on a slide for what the heck V-Bacon is. And so I have pictures.
Can't wait for that slide, by the way.
And I have, you know, I have some bullet points about it's a customer acquisition strategy, it's, you know, awareness. There are things that you can say in the marketing funnel. But having an events person to work, number one, lightened my load so that I was able to more focus on the people there, and they were able to focus on the infrastructure, which she's just better at. I mean, she's just better
at it. It's her job.
She's really good at it. And watching her do things that I wouldn't have thought of or do it better or get things, you know, it was amazing. So we, you know, at scale, it improved the experience, I think, for the customers. Like we said, the end attendees had a better experience. And what a wonderful partnership, and that she saw the power of social. Because a lot of the events people have done things in traditional ways. I've never had the opportunity to work with somebody whose background is this kind of guerrilla social thing. And one of the wonderful comments we got was, we've seen, you know, formal events that are done through all the proper channels with Outlook invites and all, you know, those endless files that get sent around and edited. We did a tweet bite. It was so simple. The lift was so light, and we had a great turnout. And because we focused on the customer, and again, this
and,
is
and not, a particular set of customers.
And a particular set of customers.
If you wanted
absolutely.
A bunch of customers who are all CIOs and VPs,
absolutely.
It might have been uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Unless
well,
they, well, some of them would. Some of them might be felt, I don't know, like they need to loosen their ties.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
It's a different audience, to your point, absolutely.
It was kind of sweaty last night.
It was a little sweaty. So to be fair, this is not, you know, me aggrandizing this event that I threw, but just saying the opportunity there is to work with... cross the walls. Tear down your own mental walls. If you've always done something outside because you thought, if I ask for permission instead of forgiveness, it won't work out well. This is the first year I've gone in and asked for permission. I made a case for it. And again, it changed how we were able to talk about it. It appeared on, in corporate America, it matters. You appear on slides. You appear on, you start to appear and engage in a different way. And yes, there's a risk that it will be taken over and be made more corporate than you might feel comfortable with. But there's also a risk that the events team can then start to think about social in a different way so the partnership can richen.
Yeah, and I'm going to push back on you, Amy, that you said this is the first time you were working with the events. You're used to parachuting in. I think some of us, some of what we do, we like to see ourselves as the parachute guerrilla fighter that's going to come in and conquer the world with social, and we forget that we've got a lot of people that are already doing a lot of work, and one of the hardest things I've had to do for myself is stop thinking I know it all on some of these things and start looking into who does what and try to play to everyone's strengths simultaneously. Because I would bet somebody's responsible for your booth here that isn't you, and somebody's responsible for the executive briefings and all of that, and
absolutely.
Somebody else is responsible for analysts and PR relations. And if you work across all of them, you can have this comprehensive strategy that is much more compelling to the community than by yourself.
And I mean, as much as I hate to say it, there is a little bit of a corporate process discipline in that, although it's much easier to just go to the bar with your card, you know, if 4 months ahead of time you start setting it up and telling people about it, and there's actually a little organizational work to do, and then you don't surprise your, you know, there, sometimes in social media it is fun to do something spontaneous and zero planning, but, you know, occasionally, as we must do, we actually must act like I don't know what the right metaphor is, but actually plan our shit, right?
We need a double click on our strategy.
And you're right, to your point, it becomes strategic at that point, whereas people might see it as tactical before, just to use a very broad marketing language.
Good point. But also, I think when you're in rapport with your colleagues, you use that language, they can be quite dynamic. I think we're definitely putting people in our events people, they are planners. Like, by design, they have to be planners. But at the same time, every single day I run into somebody at the booth, they're like, what do you think we should move around today? Like, they're always ready for a little bit of change to get a little bit more energy out of something. And I love that. It's very iterative.
So maybe let's switch a little bit from the events team to, like, the rest of the staff here at the show.
Yeah.
And can they support social? Because we said, let's say it's not VMworld. Let's say it's a different event in some city in Pittsburgh, and the event coordinator, usually a woman, just goes in.
It's an interesting point.
We just had an aha moment. Well, I have a person in my head.
Yeah,
that's why
I
was thinking of her. So she goes in, and I got a team that goes in, you know, four or five people who are going to man the booth. Can we get those people involved in social? And I will tell a story from one of our colleagues here. I will not reveal the giant corporation that they work for. But he was saying that, they're here. You know, they're ready. They're fired up. And then I told them that, okay, so on Monday, here are the community events. They all want to get involved, more involved in community. They all want to help the kind of, you know, it's very... We're now trendy, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
we're definitely
media,
trendy.
Yeah. Trendy.
We're like,
you know,
the iPod.
Okay, we're ready to help with social. And he's like, okay, well, here are the community events that are going on Monday night. And they said, oh, I'm going to head back to my room. Oh, I'm kind of tired.
What a great, you know. Yes.
And he's like, no, this is part of the gig. This is part of the gig. I want to go back to my room, too, but I'm going to go out and go, you know, and I'm supposed to meet these people here. And there are these events that the community has self-organized or that, I mean, it's at, especially at these big shows. I've got to go there.
And we'll have to put a picture of this prop here. I've got a unicorn here, and I joke a lot about unicorns, but you have to be a unicorn. And I think back to our conversation about tech evangelism with Greg Nierman, and I think that in a social role, for sure, we have that frontline responsibility. People will notice if someone representing the company is not there. Yeah, so it starts to be a little bit of not it, you know? And I wish we could flip that around a little bit. And part of, I think, our role and responsibility as social outreach is to encourage more people to cross over and say, this isn't just about logging your time in the booth or this other things or customer
doing a
meetings.
Tweet. I'll do it. I did a tweet.
I did it. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I did a tweet.
A prescribed tweet, nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also not just about us showing up.
I
think people very much expect us. But, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not that person sometimes, like that other people
are that person. That was the point.
He wanted
his team to go out and meet people so that then it would then form these connections and, you know, do the whole that thing why people meet and form relationships.
Right.
And so that would be handled over the long term. You know, and these things take time. I was talking with one of my PR folks, and they were saying, and they were getting into influencer stuff, and
Absolutely.
They were like, yeah, this person that we've been working with, now all of a sudden they have a new gig, and all of a sudden they're writing, and they were just a blogger, and they were just doing stuff, and then they had a bigger role, and then they had a bigger blog, and then they did a group blog, and then they did some freelance work, and now all of a sudden they're working for one of the biggest IT publications, and she's like,
really likes me.
Well, he's a really good guy, and she's like, she saw, but it took... You know, she worked with me, with him, for 2 or 3 years.
Well put.
It's that investment. You have to keep showing up. And I
will even argue that if we think about the strategy, and again, call out to folks working through the budgets for this, because some of this has got to be tactical.
Yeah.
If you question why there should be a social person or a person who does influencer relations on the ground, that is the answer right there. So, number one, you're guaranteed someone will show up and have representation for your company at the right events. That's their job. And as funny as that sounds, it's not that we don't enjoy the company of the community, but if our feet are sore or if we have a headache, we take ibuprofen or some other Aleve, and then we're off to that event. And I know that's, again, everybody's like, you have to be kidding, Amy, right? Partying is your job. No, it is more than that. That is sort of that, I joke, that unicorn stance. Like, some of my job is going out to these events and showing up because someone then... representation is guaranteed. The second layer is then engaging those other folks to come with you. But if you don't budget in someone to lead that charge, then you're not guaranteed.
It won't happen. There will be a vacuum where you don't exist.
And you know what? When that nature abhors a vacuum, that other company, your competition, they'll be there.
They'll
be at that party. I guarantee they'll have that conversation with the customer that may not bloom for 6 months.
And I think about it. All three of us were in the same building together, and I saw each of you for maybe half a second each, just like saying hi and walking away, and then we go connect the dots with people we've never met before.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for who's that person that isn't talking to somebody that should be.
Yes.
Because I bet they have a cool story, and they don't even realize how cool it is.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's what I really love about what we do.
Now, we are doing program-oriented stuff as well.
Yes.
Amy, you're shooting a lot of video,
yes.
and you're coordinating a lot of social media output, and you know, the listing team back home is listening.
Yes.
You also, Matt, I think, have a lot of people work. You're helping coordinate a lot of people doing stuff.
We've got about 10 people going out to a bunch of sessions and curating that and live blogging it and putting it into Storifys and just like making it both permanent and transient.
You guys have you guys now also in the last 6 months, you guys have started making beautiful event pages.
Thank you.
I agree. I agree.
The best in the business.
I'll put the feedback. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I will say very loud and clear, this is about proper resourcing and making it a priority, and the output shows.
And you know what? It's one of those things, it's a little hidden secret that we hired somebody. She's a community manager who really has a background in UI, UX, CSS, HTML5 development, and is designing all our stuff for us in lockstep with our branding and creative, but really, she's like a hidden gem that we're trying to make sure she stays on as a community manager.
It's platform people content. I'm going to say it over and over. If you don't look at the skill sets of people you hire, make sure they've got strength, diversified.
And the product in this case is the end result, the webpage.
Yeah, because, I mean, we still I mean, the traditional way is you go and you do the event and you come back.
Yeah.
And for a long time we've struggled with this. We haven't been able to. It's really hard to execute on this without the proper resourcing.
Yes.
You have a tendency to be like, yeah, we were at CA World, or yeah, we were at Interop. And
you saw us, right?
It might have been advertised on a web page buried deep in your corporate site you're going to show up, and maybe somebody on the team did a blog post saying, you know, hey, we're going to go, or not even really. Sometimes, well, maybe if an executive is speaking, mm-hmm. that gets enough attention. And then if you ask the corporate team to the event team, maybe you'll get a shot of them at the booth or something, mm-hmm. like yeah. a picture. Maybe.
And we'll tweet it out and somewhere. It'll fly past everyone on a hashtag.
But what you guys have done is this broad coverage back up to a portal that's like, okay, EMC was at VMworld and here's all the things we talked about.
Right.
Now, this is a tentpole event, so it's a little bit different.
But
I've seen you guys do it a couple times.
Right, yeah, we do it consistently at all Tier 1 shows now. We've got a very nice program, yeah.
Well, and it's the before, during, and after. So one of the things dear to my heart is that, yes, social is good at driving traffic, buns and seats. The events team loves that. You know, you're good at, like, connecting people in the moment. We talked about the events, but the after. If you are making an investment in social, if you're spending $5 on an event and you don't have a strategy for post-event, you are throwing that $5 away.
Totally down
because,
the crapper.
Yeah, for two extra dollars, then you can have a strategy that's post that does use the event to create the content that will feed you, and depending on the size of your organization and how many events you attend and what you do, you can create content for several weeks after. And I used this analogy recently that I know we've been bashing maybe or engaging our friends a little bit, good spirit, our friends on the PR side, that if you look at events as that splash, that moment of time with that PR mind, which again, that is a big rock in a pond. You want to create as big a splash, as many ripples as possible. We are a million pebbles. We are constant. Social is a million pebbles, and we keep throwing them and throwing them and throwing them. And if you don't do your planning to create the content and assets you need for after, you'll run out of pebbles. Yeah. So get as many pebbles as you can.
Yeah. That's good.
Drop the mic.
No. Drop the pebble mic.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I got an interesting one. We're here in the hang space. I'm looking at our screens.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
For now, for 3 or 4 years, you're right, the hang space may be 3 years old. And for at least 3 or 4 years, we've been having these social media screens hanging up in the hang space. And I'll lay out the gauntlet to Amy here in the Cisco way. So here's my interpretation of what. I mean, Dell, I've seen it at Dell and what you guys are doing. You have a big listening practice, mm-hmm. which we don't, and you're very proud of that. And there's this kind of, and also I've seen Salesforce do it, the Radiant 6 people do it. You know, there's this kind of cool cockpity knock sort of a thing like to do, network operations center thing where they put up all these screens and then like a bunch of plasmas mm-hmm. that look very impressive. And
look at all my data points.
All sorts of interactive graphics and kind of, you know, real-time cool stuff. Dell does a really good job at it. But it's always like, it feels like it's targeted at a pilot who's piloting. Like,
yes,
this is an executive briefing center, or this is a network operations center, and we are monitoring and we are on it. Mm-hmm. And they often look, they spend some money, and it looks, I'm jealous, totally jealous. They look awesome. I'd love to have one permanently in my office.
Yes.
We've talked about it. You know, you just bring executives by and go, look how fancy we are.
how much social we're doing. Yeah.
But here, our whole strategy has always been flipped around. We have the big screens that are pointed back at the community. Mm-hmm. We take the content that they generate, the individual, so not graphs, not a graph of how many tweets got generated or the proportion of sentiment, positive, negative. We take the actual content that's hashtag VMworld, whether it's on Instagram or on Twitter or movies or whatever, flip it around, project it back to the people.
And it's amazingly successful. I have to say big kudos because I've blatantly stolen that from you guys whenever possible. And so in the booth, I have some control over it, and we have things like there are some links. We'll send links out. There are programs like TwitterFall, and there are a couple of others that I think
TwitterFall
Tweets by Design.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
we wrote our own custom thing this time,
which is understandable. Again, for anybody listening, there's obviously a risk if you open that up because the content flows on that hashtag, and people can take over a hashtag.
In Barcelona last year, we got trending, and then as soon as you start trending, the spammers get on there, and we had turned off the filters.
Yes,
and so all of a sudden you see the event people running through the hallway, yanking the cords out. out of the wall, like, no, because it was like, meet sexy girls.
Yeah. So, yes, with any success, there is risk, for sure. But there are ways to do this. Again, if you can't influence the whole of your event, then you might be able to get something in your booth. If you have a spare monitor in your booth, run a Twitter fall. And it's a simple laptop plus twitterfall.com.
Do it for free.
Absolutely, for free. This is an easy thing, and have somebody keep an eye on it. Yeah. That's a simple win. If you're at a larger event, I agree, because people then, you get meta content where people see their picture up on the screen and they take a picture of it, and then there's a picture of a picture of a picture, and then you see how many, you know, layers, how many clicks in.
Well, you're connecting a feedback loop, and you're actually getting people in the mindset, like, I'm affecting the conference that I'm attending.
I'm famous. I'm internet famous.
Yeah, it's very empowering. I mean, like, that's what you're doing here, too, John, with, like, this open mic podcasting station. Like, you're giving people an opportunity to realize that they're very powerful. You're setting this metaphorical stage that we always talk about.
And yeah. I think there's balance. I will say, you know, I think at Cisco Live this year, they did some of that. We did have a lot of screens. We are getting, you know, everywhere where they are starting to ask me, how can we project, how can we do a Twitter fall? How can we do some of these things? How can we put pictures or videos? How can we grab this content? But one of the things they did through that listening center, that big data analysis that I really liked, was a like a Wordle, essentially. They did, you know, keywords. Word tag, a word cloud. And it was interesting to see the way people reacted to it, because sometimes their name would appear, which was kind of fun. Or sometimes, so I like the data set they used.
EMC World had a leaderboard. That was kind of cool.
That was interesting, but I also call that a fail in the gamification world.
Oh, okay.
Because that was one of those times where we didn't coordinate as well, and I want to admit that, just because the events team had the opportunity to add a leaderboard that people got really behind. They made it really public, because we've gotten really good about the hashtag strategy. So they're like, all right, we're just going to add a leaderboard into everything. And the leaderboard, the way it calculated it, was only based on the raw number of times you tweet with hashtag EMCWorld.
Right. That would be the simplest thing I'd start with.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's
so what happened?
And gamification is more complicated than that. So, like, the people that won were just spam, retweeting literally everything that came out of the EMC World account and anyone that said EMC World. So they just hijacked.
That's what you wanted, is it?
No.
It starts to be noise,
and,
right?
And, that's exactly how you turn a valuable tool, like a game, a leaderboard, and the incentive of that thing into an absolute crapshoot, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm also being pretentious about what it means to gamify something.
Well,
No.
You optimized for a behavior that it turned out that got over optimized.
Yeah,
happens all the time.
Exactly, and you have to put barriers on that so that, like,
and also gamification is so powerful. People will do anything to win your game.
They'll start.
It's amazing.
I saw somebody make an account right there and just start tweeting over and over and over again because they're like, I want my name on a board. I don't know why, but I want my name on that board. But, like, you really—that's yet another example where, like, well, we actually have a really mature gamification program at EMC, and we would have loved for us to do it, you know, quote unquote, right by bringing in that knowledge into this. But it was one of those things where we just weren't in lockstep on that.
So we're talking about tactics and we're talking about hashtags again. We talked about at EMC World, our podcast. We did talk about hashtag strategy a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put on our helper hats. For a second. Okay, so let's say you're a vendor. You're out over in the Solutions Exchange. There's 250 of them there.
Yeah.
You've got a booth. Okay,
yes.
I've got an extra monitor. Let's put up a Twitter. Let's put up some sort of Twitter thing. The challenge is, the big hashtag here is VMworld.
Yeah.
And everybody's using that. And that works out really well. That's fun. A lot of people on their phones have a search set up or whatever. But let's say I'm, you know, Acme Widget Corp. I've seen some people try to set up their own VMworld Acme.
Yeah. Which we have.
Smash.
Cisco has. We have Cisco BMW and that same kind of idea.
And so everybody that's tweeting around from Cisco hopefully uses that one instead of VMworld. Although that
in addition. Yeah.
Oof.
But, like,
I know.
It's hard.
Just hurts.
Really, so, like, if I'm Acme, what do I put on that Twitter?
Okay, ready?
Go ahead, Matt. We were having this fight just this morning.
I know.
Morning,
okay.
So.
First of all, my colleagues in the measurement way, like, they call it when you take two good hashtags and smush them together, we call them smash tags. And they're publicly mocked.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. They can.
EMC World backup and recovery at VMworld hashtag. So there are measurements by Twitter that recommend that you do not do that, because you'll see a significant drop in participation when you put the two hashtags that are organically happening and you move them together into one. You'll see, like, a 50% drop in any sort of traffic. Now, sometimes some tools don't have a way around that, and you need a unique hashtag in order to do that Twitter fall. some of the more mature tools that I've seen out there, just give them a couple keywords, and then it also puts it into a buffer so you can choose and filter and like have a safe list and a block list. So the one we use, I forget the name, we'll have to look it up. We have something that...
How effective is that then, if you can't remember it?
That's not my job. No, it does what it does, and therefore I don't have to worry about it. It looks for EMC and VMworld in the same area for this show. And then if it's an unknown person, it just throws it into a queue to be approved by somebody. Otherwise, there's all the people from EMC that are on Twitter and all people like you and Amy are trustworthy.
It's account-based. Oh,
yeah, it's account-based, too. So it has a whitelist and it has a block list and then a buffer.
And then how often does somebody go in and look at the buffer?
I have no idea.
There's somebody's job
to do that.
It doesn't take that long.
It's just one of those things like, it doesn't say sexy girl number 35, so it must be okay. Yeah, so there are more mature tools out there, certainly. So when you have the opportunity, not using a smash tag is in your best interest as a vendor. And really, with how strong the search algorithms are these days, you could just put a Twitter feed of, like, your brand company. You said, like, Acme Widget. Anything that says Acme Widget and doesn't say all these negative words in one area, pop that up in a Twitter stream, and Twitter will actually give you the HTML code to embed that anywhere.
Right. Well, this fight hasn't been good so far. Amy, what's your opinion?
I admit, my strategy was imperfect. It's something we've tried before, and I would say that as the more people join Twitter, we are victims of our own success. There is more noise inherent as more people start to tweet, as more people become engaged, as more people sort of figure this out, as more people engage. So, this is something we did. For the last 3 years, we've used Cisco VMW as our secondary hashtag for the reasons we're talking about, just simplicity. Yeah. As the tools become more complex, this will probably be the year that I retire that.
Sure.
I will push back and say, Matt, you do use another hashtag. It's called EMC Elect. And so you're crazy.
Do you know why?
Yes. I crazy.
So there are two reasons why. I can justify it. If people are putting EMC Elect, the hashtag EMC Elect, so for the brand advocacy program, I tell them not to put hashtag EMC in it.
Yes.
Because our tools will get that as the same way.
Yes.
And the reason we want to do that is because we do want a special curated conversation with a group of advocates.
I know exactly
But there's
you're
a
doing.
Brand there.
I know exactly
You don't
what
have
you're
a brand called Cisco VWMVXYZ.
Like, no, I don't disagree with that.
I want people to know that.
I'll push back and maybe reveal too much of my artistry here, but I'm pretty sure you saw the hashtag VBacon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you saw that tattooed on people's arms everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't necessarily have Cisco in there, but that is part of that subtle branding.
That is a Cisco strategy, and I'd say using the hashtag VBacon everywhere would have been more successful than just doing a hashtag.
Right. You can't do it just for that, but that is, I have multiple layers of strategy.
You can't say, come to the UCS breakout session, hashtag VBacon.
Absolutely.
That can't be your corporate hashtag.
If you have enough credibility for that program inside your brand, which I'm not saying is easy. It's easier with EMC Elect than it would be with VBacon,
right,
no doubt.
You've got
they're created for two different reasons.
Yeah, there are two different reasons. It's a slightly different strategy. I'm pointing out.
I don't think they're created for two different reasons, though. I really like that we're actually arguing for the first time, and it's going to be in
quite
person.
A long time.
You have a
series of advocates that are directed to do certain things. So you have a core set of people that are going to use this and then hope for retweets out of that. What I'm doing is external, distributed model. So I need to get people to use that tag to sort of have a conversation. And again, it's a more subtle approach. You can go either way, and there are benefits to both.
I disagree and say, like, we're after both. Yes, we have people that are using that intentionally, but we're also hoping for that conversation to happen over it. So we're answering questions that are coming through the EMC Elect hashtag. It's back and forth, and I'd say it's quite similar to what you could use VBacon for.
Right.
Did you give instructions to... So EMC Elect is the EMC...
They have a prescribed tweet.
There are no prescribed tweets. I will turn this microphone off.
But did you tell them to every time they're tweeting something substantive to add that tag? Is that what you asked?
Basically, the strategy is we laid out all the what we were calling the EMC properties at VMworld. So all the different sessions, all the different major events. And then we had one of our advocates step up to be the champion of that. It's a sub-brand at EMC Elect called EMC Elect Social Champions. And the idea of it is that people would curate a live blog of each of these different sessions. And if questions came through from the audience, so we got that hashtag into every presentation that EMCers are giving at VMworld,
oh, nice,
has hashtag EMC Elect in it. So it was quite an effort to get that happening, but it's been everywhere, and hopefully be able to tell you in a few days how it went. But we've had questions coming in online during that sessions, and the EMC Elect are able to help curate that for the person in charge. So we wanted to offer it basically as a service to those that are presenting, and help them span the gap into social and lead them to the water and not have to shove their face in it too hard.
Just one aside, then maybe a tactical tip. I hope as a parent to everybody.
All ears.
Hashtags are bullshit. But you know,
that's it.
When you tweet, you put the hash, you know, sign there, and whatever. But actually, when you search, you search without the hash sign usually. Because
often.
Then you get people who decided to use it and people who decided not to use it, because most people don't use it.
Yeah.
So when I do a VMworld search, I don't do hashtag VMworld search. I just search for VMworld.
Yeah.
And that gives me everything. Like I was retweeting,
including the ads.
Hashtag VMworld, and then you can also do you can do VM plus world. So when people accidentally break it up because they're a little new to it, or if they. You get, like, common iPad fails or autocorrect fails.
And point being that search, like we said, has evolved and become more mature. So.
Well, it's...
I've seen some tools that only search for hashtags, and so they're throwing away...
They're throwing away most of the content.
...of the information.
And also, I would say, as a training strategy, using a hashtag is almost... Those are training wheels as we move through this cycle, in terms of getting people to do something regularly, in terms of having the way the tools are structured on the phone.
They're
designed
for convenience.
Yeah. I mean, so there's some reasons to do it, because they'll pop up, like Tweetbot, it'll pop up time after time. So there's some reasons to use it. But, you know, yes, I will admit, Matt, fully, that my strategy with that is evolving, because the tools are evolving. So.
And I'm not mocking you.
I'm mocking you.
Just said. Never mind. But no, it's not that it is wrong. It's just there. Wait, is that what I'm saying? It's not that it's without reason.
Right.
It is that it is not effective.
I think that going forward, and I would push back and say in some ways that's the challenge you've got as well. So we all do.
Absolutely. We all do.
So
that's why they keep paying us the big bucks.
There you go. Way to bring it all together.
Things keep changing.
They
keep,
really that's a great point.
Facebook changed something just every week.
Did you see recently? I mean, Twitter also totally changed the way they do content with pictures. So you can now, you're not just... what's that? The top tweet, but also top tweet with pictures.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, we do have to keep our fingers on that pulse and pay attention in order to be able to lead people towards the visibility we're after.
Well, I think we are reaching the end of another episode of the Geek Whispers. I don't know. Do we have any final thoughts on events and working with your social team?
I'd just say it's a natural win to really make friends with your event coordinators, especially if you're a big company, even a little one too, just because social has a lot to do with having that stage set, and like there's no bigger stage than a 20-something thousand person conference.
And to John's point, in the last question when we were sort of debating, I think even if you're a small company, you have the ability to create a voice. Be smart, be strategic, be creative, and work with the whole team you've got. If you've got an army of three, be strong in the army of three. If you've got an army of 30, use the resources. Fight with the army you have. I love that from the previous podcast, John, and I think that's one of the key things. Set some of your pride aside, and many fingers pointing back here, and work with that events team. Listen to your colleagues. And for heaven's sake, if you're a social media person and you're at an event and you're not going to community events, shame on you. That's my VMworld 3 word for you. Shame on you. Go out and get out and meet your colleagues. It's so important.
All right. This has been, we've been recording here all week. We've got, I think we've got a couple in the can. We have no excuse then to keep publishing them out. It's been a good week here at VMworld. I'm really glad you guys came. We all had a chance to interact and work together. It's been fun to record these podcasts in the Hang Space, and we'll see y'all next week.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as Jay Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.